So in Galatians 6, starting in verse 7, and in this passage, Paul introduces a very important spiritual principle to us. He uses the analogy of sowing seeds and reaping the benefits of it, or reaping the fruit of it. An analogy that would have been very clearly understood by all the readers, and even by us today. We understand that principle. Many are starting to enjoy their gardens now the weather has turned, and you know what that means. You think about your garden and you reap the reward, and there's something wonderful about that. And this is a physical law and also a moral and a spiritual law that Paul is bringing our attention to, and it deserves our focus because it plays into our daily lives. And notice the passage begins with a warning, verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. So do not be deceived. What is he saying there? Do not be deceived. Do not have this false idea or this concept of thinking that somehow this principle or law doesn't apply to you, or to think that you can pick and choose when it applies to you. Maybe someone might think that, oh, this doesn't really apply to me, or no one will know if I'm living my life this way or whatever. And God says, don't be deceived. This is a principle that lays itself in the path of every believer, and it affects our life. The seed will germinate. The harvest will come. The consequences will be sure. Be not be deceived. God is not mocked. The Greek word here, to mock, it means to turn up the nose at, to have like a disdain or an arrogance, looking in the sense of, off, please, you know, that somehow again doesn't apply to me, or I'm above this or beyond this or whatever it might be. I am doing okay. This doesn't apply to me. I can manage my spiritual life and my natural life okay, and I can, you know, I can dabble over here, play with sin. No one will know. It won't affect me. Everyone's doing it. It will be okay. Paul starts with a warning. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. And then he clearly states the principle for, or in other words, for this is the fact that whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. It's clearly stated, isn't it? It doesn't say sometimes he will reap or he may reap, but it says he will reap. And this is, again, a principle true in the agricultural realm, but also in our spiritual life and moral life. The harvest of a farmer, of course, would depend on the seed. What type of seed? How much seed? Is it good quality seed? The farmer couldn't expect to sow corn and reap barley or wheat. If you sow corn, you reap corn. The farmer couldn't expect to sow poor seed and get a rich, healthy harvest. And equally, he couldn't expect to sow sparingly and reap abundantly. So the type of seed, the quality of seed, the amount of seed will determine the harvest. He wants the believer to be clear. Don't think that you can sow without consequence. And I don't know about you, but this morning, as I sip my coffee at the table, considered this, it made me consider my day, my life, or each season, which is what this chapter goes into, that each season you reap and you will sow. And the seasons in our life ultimately will bear fruit. And as believers, we don't hear this or treat this principle lightly, but we want to be careful and not careless about our decisions, the things that we allow through our eye gate, in our ears, our hearts, what things we allow to influence us. We are not careless, but we are careful. So, verse 7, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he also will reap. Verse 8, for he who sows in his flesh, now he gets a bit more specific, will also reap of the flesh corruption. In other words, one who sows to please his sinful nature, his natural desires or passions or lust patterns, if you will, it's the act of choosing to gratify the cravings of the flesh. And we all understand what that means from our own experience. He says, will of the flesh reap corruption. There's a parallel. This principle is found in James 1, 14 and 15. It says, for each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. And then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. So there, just as you look at a timeline of a person of conception and birth and growth, Paul lays the principle there. That there is the desire that when it is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. And there is the reaping of corruption, or reaping death. Corruption means decay, disintegration, the perishing thereof. And if you think about the works of the flesh, which Paul laid out, and it's not a comprehensive list, but the works of the flesh that he lays out back in verse 19 and 20 and 21, for example, he says the works of the flesh are sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality. And as we read them, think about the ultimate consequence. We all understand the pleasure of sin for a season. But think about the potential and ultimate consequences of those type of actions or that type of lifestyle. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, strife, jealousy. Let that one lay home for a moment. Fits of rage, uncontrollable temper, selfish ambition. Wow, we could spend some minutes thinking about that, how that selfish ambition can eat away at your own heart, mind, and soul, can cause a destruction of relationships, all etc., as all of these can. Dissensions, factions or divisions, envying, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. And he says, and the like, in other words, and similar things. It's not a comprehensive list. But it's clear that if you are sowing to the flesh, in that type of framework, obviously, ultimately, you will reap the consequences of that. And how sad it is when you speak to someone and they begin to speak to you about the regrets that they have in their life. And how the pleasure, the momentary pleasure of a decision or of sin can seem so desirable in the moment. Oh, but how much regret can be reaped after that. If only I had the foresight to be able to look beyond the passion of the moment and see the potential fruit or reaping or harvest that could be born from that. Oh, I would not have gone there, right? And this is where wisdom, which is something we develop and growing as a believer, as we're hearing the word, as we're hiding the truth in our heart. Wisdom gives us a capacity to see beyond the moment, a capacity to have foresight. Someone defined foresight like this, that foresight is the capacity to be able to look down the corridor of time, consider or anticipate the potential consequences of the decision or the lust or bowing to your old sin nature, and then making decisions to ensure that that will never happen. That's foresight applied in a believer's life. He goes on. Now he looks at the other side of the principle, right? You sow to the flesh, you reap corruption. And he says, but, or in the contrast, he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. So he says, listen, if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap of the Spirit. So there's two fields. One field is the flesh, one field is the spirit, and you sow to one field and you reap from that field. And a believer, and over the years, I've heard this type of confession many times in a believer's life. I can't get victory. I've tried Christianity. I can't seem to find a spiritual life. I can't overcome. I keep getting drawn back into certain patterns of sin or whatever it might be, and it's not working for me. It seems to work for you, but not for me. Well, the fundamental question that's laid before us here is, what field are you sowing to? A young man, a young woman can't expect to be sowing to the field of the flesh and looking only to fulfill the desires to entertain the mind and the soul and the body. And we all need entertainment in some measure and relaxation. We understand that. But if that's all that I've got going on, and I'm just, you know, feeding my soul from this type of entertainment, I'm sitting in front of the TV or the computer or on the phone, and that's all I'm doing, feeding myself with mindless stuff. And I say, I can't seem to get victory in my life as a Christian. Well, okay, let's hit the pause button. Let's go to Galatians 6 and let's think about this principle that will affect your life on a day-to-day, season-to-season principle. If you want to be reaping a harvest in the next season, you need to be sowing now in your life. Holiness and godliness doesn't happen by accident. It's where someone has taken up their cross and decided to sow to the field of the Spirit. Sow to the Spirit, and then eventually they begin to reap of that and sense the difference in their life. What a man sows, he will surely reap. We all have an old sin nature. Don't think, well, that guy, he's a godly Christian, he's okay, but I've got this sin nature. No, we all have an old sin nature. We all understand what that means, to be drawn away, to have lust, to have desires, to have a craving, to want to satisfy that. We all understand what that means, and we're all free to do it. And God says, you have a free will, you choose accordingly. But just let me warn you, you will reap what you sow, right? Paul addresses this principle in Romans 7. We see how he struggles with the flesh. We're encouraged by that passage because it's the Apostle Paul speaking. And this is, we'd think, well, you're an apostle. You must have got it down by now. And Paul would say, no, I struggle. I understand what it means to struggle. The things that I want to do, I find that I can't do. And the things that I don't want to do, evil is present with me, right? Excuse me. So Paul comes to the conclusion that victory comes through faith in Christ. He realizes that he's sowing to the flesh. Even though it's on a moral plane, he's trying to keep the law, he finds himself struggling with the powers of the flesh. He realizes that the key is that he needs to begin to reap to the Spirit, to live by faith. So this is in Romans 6:14, for example, let sin have no dominion over you. How does sin get dominion over you? I think it's based on how we sow, the decisions we make, the places we go, the things we listen to, the people we associate with, the things we watch or whatever it might be. All of those things are effectively sowing in my life, and I will reap the effect of that accordingly, right? So, and that's, we have to be aware. You can't think, and I say this to my children, you can't think that everything you watch and read and take in isn't going to affect your life. Well, it won't affect me, Dad. I understand that. No. You do not be deceived. You will reap what you sow. It will have an effect on your life. But look at that. There's a promise there, isn't there? But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. It's about the power and the effect of the Holy Spirit in a Christian's life. Now it says, what you will reap is everlasting life. And you might say, well, don't we already have that? Don't we already have everlasting life? And of course, yes, we do in the ultimate sense of our, you know, full salvation. But eternal life is not only speaking about a destiny or a quantity, it's more so speaking about a quality of life that we have now, can experience now, that will ultimately will experience for eternity. So in other words, I can reap the harvest of that life now on my timeline in my existence now. So we reap the blessings of love and peace and joy. If you sow to the Spirit, you will reap of the Spirit, and you will sense the fruit of the Spirit in your life. Paul touched on this principle back in chapter 5, of course, the passage on the Holy Spirit, where he gives these two options. You can walk in the flesh, or you can walk in the flesh or walk in the Spirit. You can sow to the flesh, you can sow to the Spirit. And we have the responsibility, the stewardship, the possibility, the freedom to decide moment by moment in our life. So we must, in our choices, in our daily orientation, in our devotion, we need to have quiet times where we are purposed. We come before the Lord quietly. We hear the word. We come to church services. People often treat that very carelessly. Oh, well, I can't go this week because, and of course, real things will come up. We all understand that and know, you know, we all live in freedom and grace before God. But be careful how carelessly you make that type of decision, because when we come together as believers and hear the word and we're in fellowship, there's a sowing that's going on. There is truth being sown in our hearts. There is life that's being imparted. There is joy that we are sharing and experiencing. There is a spiritual phenomenon that happens when we gather together as believers. So we don't treat that too carelessly, you know, when it comes to opportunities we have to sow to the Spirit and hear the word, of course. So this is exciting for us as believers, because this is like a secret that's being shared with us. God is sharing with us this secret of how to live a wholesome, healthy, spiritual, holy life. Not a perfect life. We're still subject to our challenges and our flesh and our sin nature, etc. But nevertheless, the more we sow, the more we will reap accordingly. Now, some of you and some of the Galatian readers might be reading this and thinking, well, wait a minute, when is this going to happen? I feel like I've been sowing and I'm not reaping. I still am struggling. What do you say? And Paul would address this. Verse 9, let us not grow weary while we are doing good. For in due season we will reap if we do not lose heart. Isn't that wonderful that that little capstone is put on this passage? Listen, you may be sowing, you may be going forwards, you still may have struggles or vices in your life that you are hoping to get victory over. But a farmer won't plant a seed and then go back the next day and start digging the seed up and saying, why isn't it growing? Or he won't go back the next day and say, where's the harvest, right? There is sowing, and then it says, in due season we will reap. It may be the next season. Some areas where we sow in our life, we may not reap the harvest of that until the other side of the grave. But nevertheless, we will reap eventually. So we sow, and we sow with patience, we sow by faith, and we sow faithfully, and we believe that God will be faithful to his promise that in due season we will reap. And there's a little condition on there, if we do not lose heart. It's very possible someone might quit, lose heart, turn back, and you will forfeit a harvest. It could be coming. Don't lose heart. In due time, we will reap, and that's the promise. Therefore, verse 10, we'll finish with this verse this morning, verse 10. Therefore, And when you read the word therefore, you say, what is the therefore, therefore? It's connecting us to all that he said. If it's true that we will reap in due season, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Now, something beautiful about this passage that you would miss unless you looked at the Greek words is that the Greek word kairos, which is a set time or season or an undefined period, is the same word that's translated season, in due season you will reap, and the same word that's translated in this verse for opportunity. Now, I find that so, I just love that principle. I enjoy that principle so much, because what is it saying to us? It's saying that every season is an opportunity, that the time that we have is an opportunity. In fact, in Ephesians 5:16, where it says redeem the time, guess what the word is for time? It's kairos. Time, season, opportunity. And as believers, this is how we think about time. Every moment, every day, every season is an opportunity. It's an opportunity to be sowing by faith, to be sowing to the Spirit, to be trusting God, to be putting our life in his hands again and again, looking to him and the promises, rehearsing the prophecies and the promises, and having an expectation and a hope that is revived in our hearts every day. And the hope itself has an effect in our life, doesn't it? So, as we have opportunity, and of course this is the seize the day principle, or the redeem the time in the New Testament language here. Make the most of the time, redeem the time. And when you redeem something, there is something paid and something that is gained because of that, right? That's the idea of redemption, to buy back. And we are buying by faith. We are sowing by faith. We are rescuing something that could be lost or wasted to something that becomes very valuable or profitable. That's redemption. This could be lost forever. It could be wasted. It could lose all value. But through redemption, it is found, bought back, and held with the utmost value. And this is what we do with time. Isn't time something that could be easily wasted? But for us, time is something that we don't want to waste. Redeem the time, buy the time, make decisions by faith in your life. Sow to the Spirit, sow and sow and sow and sow, and you will reap. You will reap. You will reap in due season. Don't lose heart. Continue by faith and sow, and God will be faithful. And when you think about an hourglass, you would turn an hourglass, you would see the sand running through so quickly. And we realize that, don't we? That time goes so fast. Our lives go so fast. And we have an opportunity. And for Christians, for believers, it's not just sand through an hourglass. It's like gold dust. We understand how precious every moment, every opportunity, every gathering, every word, every sermon, every promise, every prayer time. And there are certain things that the world would look upon them, or the natural man would look upon them and say, oh, that's a waste of time. We would say, oh, no. This is sowing to the Spirit. This is putting seeds in the ground by faith. This is trusting God, for he will be true to his promises. And they might say, well, praying for an hour, what a waste of time. And we would say, oh, no. If we pray in the Spirit, and we will see the effect of that. Now, so we have this opportunity. And notice how he closes out. He says, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all. Now notice, we should do good to all, right? To all people, to our enemies, to people we don't know, to our friends, to our brothers, to our family, etc. We should be good to all. But notice Paul, after saying that, makes an additional emphasis. He says, especially to the household of faith. And we thank God for the opportunity to do good to all. with the expression of God's life and love and the gospel and prayers and all that it might be, acts of kindness, etc., giving, etc., but especially to the household of faith. That especially, that emphasis is in these verses as an emphasis in God's own heart when we consider our own family, our own brothers and sisters, those who minister to us, those who we minister to in the church family. Oh, what a privilege and an opportunity we have to do good to them. And that is sowing, that is investing. And in due time, we will reap also in those relationships. Amen. So God bless you. Thank you for joining us this morning. Be encouraged in the word and sow to the Spirit, sow by faith. Doubtless, Psalm 126, doubtless those who go forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again bearing their sheaves, right? So let's go forth bearing the seed, sowing, planting, and we will, in due season, we will reap. Amen. God bless you.